Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in the keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Kingsley. Shall we pray as we come to God's word this morning? Lord God, we thank you that at just the right time you sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. We thank you for all those who prepared for his coming. And we pray that in this season of Advent, you would strengthen our hearts and mind to be ready for Christ, to make him room, and to serve him in this world and in the world to come. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, this morning we're continuing the series looking at these characters who are caught up in the Christmas story. We've thought about Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And today we come to these two characters you can see on the screen, Simeon and Anna. And I love this picture because it reminds us of the faithfulness of these people who are waiting in the temple for the salvation of the Lord, the coming Messiah. But I think it's fair to say that sometimes and far too often in our society, the elderly are dismissed and marginalized, and their accumulated wisdom is too often ignored and cast aside. I think it's fair to say often when we read about the elderly, maybe in a paper or a newspaper, whatever it might be, sometimes it seems a problem to be overcome, an obstacle, rather than people to be cherished and honoured. And I think this morning we want to try and put that right a little bit by thinking about Simeon and Anna and their extraordinary faithfulness and perseverance in their faith. Isn't it right that nearly always we see youth explored, the idea of physical beauty of sporting prowess? Is not what we see often worshipped and adored rather than the accumulated wisdom of the elderly? Well, let's first set the scene. Who are these characters and where exactly are they? Well, we're at the temple courts in Jerusalem. It's the center of all Jewish life, religious, civic, cultural. Many of life events are celebrated in the precincts of the court of the temple. It's the place where God dwelt with his people. But as well as the Jewish palace guard there, you'd be reminded that you were a people under occupation. There'd be Roman soldiers with the swords and shields outside the temple as well. And it would be a painful reminder as a Jew that you are part of an occupying force. You are now sucked in to the Roman Empire. And so we find this young Jewish couple coming into the temple courts. We find a great deal about Mary and Joseph in these stories. They are young. They are pious. They are devout. And what they're really trying to do is to satisfy the law of Israel with these two ceremonies: the purification after birth and a circumcision and naming. Did you notice several times between verses 22 and 24, we have three times, according to the law of Moses, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Verse 24, what is said in the law of the Lord. Luke makes a lot about this in his gospel. Why is it so important that this young couple have to be according to the law of the Lord? Jesus is the embodiment of the true Israelite. He is the true Jew, with perfect submission, perfect obedience to the Lord. You see, in Jesus, a new covenant, a new testament is coming to be. That's why in our Bibles we see 39 books, the Old Testament, then a period of silence, then the New Testament, those books in the new covenant. Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one promised for centuries, is what all the Old Testament Torah and the scrolls said. He is now coming home. And don't forget the prophet Isaiah, one of the titles given to Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And now for the first time, Emmanuel is coming into the temple, the very place where God dwelt with his people. Here, in this little scrap of humanity, lying in his mother's arms, is the presence of God, God with us. But then, like a film director, Luke turns our attention to a new character. And it's no coincidence that Mary and Joseph just happen to cross paths with this man, Simeon. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the air tattoo and you've seen one of these display teams like the Red Arrows. They all go up in formation like a diamond, and then two split off. One goes to the east, one goes to the west. And they go maybe a mile apart. And then at one point, they turn. And then at several hundred miles an hour, they come right towards each other. And you think they're going to crash. And then at precisely the right moment, they cross. Precisely the right moment. And at this moment in our gospel story, several things happen. This elderly, righteous man, Simeon, is there at precisely the right moment as this young couple bring the little baby to be circumcised and named. And here's one of these extraordinary God incidents. It's not coincidence, but in God's sovereign plan, these people meet together. Now, what do we know about Simeon? We're told, verse 27, he's moved by the Spirit to enter the temple courts at just that moment because God wanted it to happen. All the waiting in his life is now over. His life is now complete. He says his eyes have now seen God's salvation. He's now happy to be dismissed from this life in peace. And that really got me thinking this week as preparing this talk. I wonder what really makes our life complete. And honestly, what really gives us peace? Simeon is saying with absolute honesty and integrity, I have now beheld the Messiah. I'm now happy to die. My life is now complete and fulfilled. I wonder how many of us can really say that in our hearts. This week some of us was doing the course called Christianity Explored. And we got to Mark's Gospel chapter 4 in the parable of the soils. And remember the seed, the word of God is planted, and then sometimes the thorns come up. They strangle us, they smother us, and it stops a good harvest from coming. I know in my life there's many things that come in upon me. They might be good things in themselves, but they smother that word of God, and it means we don't produce the harvest that we should. But here we have this wonderful example of Simeon, a man who loves the Lord God, who was waiting for the Messiah, and now he has come, and his life is complete. What makes our life complete? What gives us a peace and a joy that surpasses all else? And there he is holding a baby. In his hands he understands the Messiah has come. And he then says the words which are familiar to us as the Nunc Dimittis, named after the Latin translation of his words. And it's the third song that we see in Luke's Gospel. Do you remember Mary? The angel Gabriel announced the birth of Jesus, and she sang the Magnificat. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, sang the words of the Benedictus after his tongue was loosened and John was named. And here we have faithful Simeon singing a great song of joy and thanksgiving in response to the mercy that is shown to him. Different people caught up in different ways, responding with joy and thanksgiving to what God has done. And as we meet together, the first time we've done it for over, what, 5-6 weeks, it's great to gather together and to worship God and to praise him. We do come this morning from different backgrounds, different outlooks, but with a common purpose to worship God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I wonder if you noticed something in passing in the words that were read to us. Mary and Joseph could not afford a lamb, so they brought 2 pigeon doves instead. His parents were not well off. They could not afford the normal sacrifice, so they had to go with the pigeons. But of course, the deeper irony is that in Mary's arms was Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. He will be the perfect sacrifice. Do you remember when Jesus came out of the wilderness to be baptized by John the Baptist? What did John say to him? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They could not afford a lamb to be sacrificed, but in their arms they held the Lamb of God. And it reminds us that even at his birth, the shadow of the cross falls backward onto this story. The words of Simeon, verse 34 and 35, these are hard words that Mary had to hear. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the words of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. You see, Simeon is telling us that many people have to make a choice about who this Jesus is. Will he cause some to rise and some to fall? Will he be a cornerstone in our lives, or will he be a stumbling block, a stone we actually trip over? What will he be to us? Mary will suffer anguish and sorrow. She will be there at the cross as Jesus pours out his life. Jesus came into this world with his back against a wooden manger, and he leaves this world with his back against a wooden cross. And his mother Mary is there. So Simeon blesses Jesus and prophesies over his parents. And then we see this other faithful senior citizen, Anna, the prophetess. She was widowed at an early age, probably been a widow for over 60 years of her life, absolutely devoted to God. We're told she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And perhaps many people over the years mocked her. They laughed at her. Anna, you're still not waiting for the Messiah, are you? Most people have given up on those ideas many years ago. Why waste your time, Anna? Why don't you just put your feet up and relax? have a rest. But Anna would not be moved in her faith. She was resolute to God's promise of a coming Messiah. And now the moment has come. Just like Simeon, Anna too is guided by the Spirit to see the Messiah for herself. And how she must have marveled as she saw that tiny baby in the arms of his mother. And she cannot contain her excitement and joy. We're told that she goes out and tells everyone around her of the great things that have happened. You can see that there in verse 38. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She just cannot contain her excitement. And you can imagine this news spreading like wildfire all around Jerusalem and Judea. And I love this picture by Rembrandt of the face of Anna. It reminds us that here's a woman of great piety, great devotion, and God brought her wonderful promises to bear. Well, it does make you think that perhaps when we think that nothing is happening, God has his own faithful people who are there behind the scenes, watching, waiting, praying. All those years in the temple, people thought nothing was happening, but God was preparing the hearts of Simeon and Anna. They may be invisible to most, but God sees them and God loves them. They may be mocked and derided, but God honors and blesses them. The world might pass them over, but the sovereign Lord had great plans for them. They would be the ones who would bless and testify to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And I wonder, even in the Christian church, do we value faithfulness? Do we value perseverance over the years? Are we fascinated by the shiny, the new, the fashionable? Do we honor those who have run the race before us for so much longer than ourselves and have the wisdom to teach us, to impart wisdom to a younger generation? Over the years since I've been a vicar, I've greatly valued having a mentor, an older retired clergyman who I see a couple of times a year, who gives me lots of good advice, who prays with me, who teaches me, who listens to me. He guides and instructs. I listen, and usually I learn from him if I'm not too stubborn. It's good to have an older person in our lives. Well, there's a picture of me as a curate nearly 20 years ago with my vicar, David Isherwood, 20 years ago in Clapham in southwest London. I greatly valued having an older man of faith alongside me to teach me about the Christian faith. And then later when I became a vicar and I had a curate, I was able to pass on some things to him. And we have our new curate, Gareth Griffith, coming with his family to Lechlade next year. Do we value faithfulness, perseverance, passing the faith on, encouraging each other? When we talk about older people and younger people, we usually think of younger people teaching older people. Grandma, do you know how to use your smartphone? Do you know how to use your iPad? Do you know how to use the internet? Can you Zoom? But what about the older person teaching the younger person? Those are some things which are perhaps harder to put into a picture, harder to see. Don't be too hasty. There's benefit in saving, of working at relationships. We need to hear those stories of old and young working together. And as I finish this morning, let's be encouraged. We are all in the school of Christ together. We're all learning in our faith, whether you're a recent convert, whether you've been in the Christian faith for many, many years, whether you've been coming to this church 50, 60 years, whether you've just been coming for a few months. We're all in this together as the family of Christ, old and young, coming together to worship the Lord. Simeon and Anna show us real-life examples of spirit-filled, righteous people who know that there's nothing more important than waiting on Christ, God's King. Theirs is a devoted love that stands the test of time. There is a life that sees with the eyes of faith. So may you be encouraged this morning that God would help us by his Holy Spirit. He would teach us through these great heroes of the past, like Simeon and Anna. And may we grow together in this faith in Christ. And we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.